Today in the EU, what would a Europe without Sanchez look like? Today, Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez will announce whether he will step down from Spain's highest political office or continue to lead the country. Sanchez's departure, just weeks before the EU elections, could shake up the political landscape.
Hello and welcome. I'm Jada Santana, and this is Today in the EU.
Señor presidente, ¿qué piensa hacer?
President, what are you planning to do? Asked the spokesperson of the Catalan party ERC to Pedro Sanchez last week. Sanchez glossed over the question. I still believe in the justice system of my country, he said. To understand what has been left unsaid, I'm joined in the studio by Max Griera, politics reporter at Euractiv. You came back last week from Strasbourg. It was plenary week, really busy, and yet we're here again because of a sudden move in Spain. Quite a surprise.
Indeed. So I was in Strasbourg last week, and on Wednesday, suddenly in the evening, the whole Spanish section of the press room started, being pretty loud, and then pretty soon all of us realized of what was happening. Pedro Sanchez, the Prime Minister of Spain, had sent a letter through Twitter to all of its citizens explaining that he had decided to step back from his public duties for some days.
Exactly. Sanchez said that he needed 5 days to reflect. Why?
Well, he said that after a mediatic campaign against his wife, Begoña Gómez, by a lot of media, often considered like right-wing or far-right media, claiming that she had been involved in corruption and influence peddling cases, that he had decided to take some time off. These media cases have brought an organization also linked to the far-right.
Let's talk about the organization behind the lawsuit, Manos Limpias.
Yeah, so Manos Limpias is what many, many media in Spain refer to as a pseudo, so fake, let's say, trade union. They say they're a trade union of civil servants, but basically what they do is to compile all these lawsuits against often left-wing politicians. Basically, they say that their mission is, to fight against corruption in the public institutions. So they compile these lawsuits and bring left-wing politicians, not only, but mostly to court. Most of these cases, however, tend to fall through.
Begoña Gómez, as you said, is accused of what in Spanish is called tráfico de influencia, influence peddling. What is that about?
Let me explain exactly what happened. Manos Limpias compiled a set of links, let's say, to media reports from what are considered right-wing to far-right media sites and brought it to court in a private accusation suit, let's say. And then the judge picked it up and opened the process. However, what's interesting to see here is that actually the Supreme Court of Spain prohibited judges to open investigations just from media reports. So that's also something that will play out in this lawsuit. Even the public prosecutor's office has already requested to archive the case because they say there's not enough proof.
What do these media reports point out?
Well, they point out that Begoña Gómez indeed signed some letters with her name, letters that were sent then to the public administration on behalf of private companies when they were applying for public funds. So either contracts, public contracts or subsidies.
Yeah, something I'm wondering is if this case ends up being rejected or archived, why has Sanchez made a big deal out of it? He could lead the country for an extra 3 years, so why the move?
Well, at first it really seemed that he was very touched by this because, work-life balance, having family separate from politics is something he takes very seriously. So when his wife was hit by his political life, in a way, by all these, far-right attacks, it's not only the court case, this court case is preceded by a lot of media attacks to his wife. People close to him said to Spanish media, he took this decision without talking to his team at all. He just went to Moncloa, the Spanish president's house, and chat with his family and decided to do this.
Well, of course, this is the official version communicated by the PM entourage. But what could be the strategy behind it?
So theory A, he was really touched by it. Second, we have Catalan elections the 12th of May. And not only Catalan elections, but we also have European elections the 9th of June. So it could be that Sánchez, which is governing the country, but has lost a bit of support and depends on the Catalans, independentists, depends on the Basque nationalists. It could be that he has used this chance, some people say, to, you know, really bring the country to a state of political debate, really pointing at the far right and building momentum out of this situation. And we're already seeing that, in fact. All his socialist colleagues are already building mobilizations, protests. Like, there's a big mobilization going on. We have the former Prime Minister of Spain, José Luis Rodríguez Zapatero, also calling for mobilization to protect Sánchez, to protect democracy.
When you look at Sánchez's political character, how likely is his resignation?
Let me say something about why I think he will stay. Sánchez is known to be a very feisty politician. That's why everyone was very surprised about this decision. Sánchez has managed to get out of very complicated situations in the last years and has managed to form government after government. So, you know, this is his mindset, to resist against the far right, against the right wing. You know, that's been his narrative. So, of course, I understand the gravity of the situation, but I don't think he would, you know, really, really stand down because of these far right attacks.
He's not the first president to be caught in a corruption scandal. What is the Spanish etiquette when it comes to addressing links to this type of allegations?
Well, I think the etiquette depends on the party you are from. I mean, we saw how when Rajoy got hit by the growing corruption allegations against his party, he stuck to power to the last moment. While here we see Sánchez that has said publicly that is actually thinking of resigning because of these corruption allegations and because of the far-right attacks. So I don't think there's, you know, one way to do it. It just depends on the politician, the party.
And yet it is pretty unprecedented even to announce taking 5 days off the schedule, right?
Yeah, of course, I don't think that Sánchez will disappear. He will still be prime minister and he'll be still working as prime minister. However, he will not make public appearances or he will reduce a bit the workload. However, there is precedent for what he might be about to do.
What is that?
Of course, after bringing Spain to a state of shock, something has to be done. He needs a grand move to cement his power again, to cement trust. Because, of course, by doing this, by taking some days off and saying that he's willing to resign, he has weakened his image a bit and he has dilapidated trust a bit.
What is the most likely scenario, in your opinion?
So, in my opinion, after bringing the, you know, really the country in a state of chaos, he needs some sort of move to cement his power again. So what I think he'll do is use this mechanism called question of confidence. This has been used only 2 times prior to this by 2 other prime ministers, Adolfo Suárez and Felipe González.
Technically speaking, what is this maneuver useful for?
With this mechanism, the president of the government of Spain can bring either, it can be a program, it can be himself, it can bring some topic, a question to the Chamber of Deputies, to the Parliament. Do you trust in me? Is what he will probably ask today. And then the deputies need to vote either in favor or against. The interesting part is that if he doesn't get a majority, simple majority, he's out of government.
What would happen then to the Socialist Party in Spain and in Europe?
What would happen? Absolute mayhem. We just had national elections. So people are really worried of having national elections again, which is a true possibility. So, like, 2 things could happen, you know, if he doesn't pass the question of confidence. Either he calls elections or the Chamber of Deputies needs to appoint another prime minister.
Okay, let's say he does call for snap elections.
If he calls snap elections, he cannot do so until the 29th of May, because in Spain you can only call snap elections after 1 year after you called the last snap elections, and that was the 29th of May of 2023. So he would have to wait a bit. And if they go for the other option, to appoint another prime minister, then we'll have to see when we get there.
Of course, the situation puts a lot of pressure on the Socialist Party in Europe, with Portugal now swinging to the right after the recent elections. It really seems that there are a few left-leaning governments remaining in the council. What implications does this have for EU policy?
If he stays, he stays. Nothing changes. Which is, I mean, if you ask me what will happen, he will stay reinforced because of this situation. As I was saying, you know, he will manage to mobilize people in favor of him. If he resigns, that means that he would be available for a top job, either as president of the European Council, which is expected to be assigned to a socialist.
It's possible that Sanchez might indeed aim for the European Council presidency. How could this scandal impact him at the European level?
When it comes at the EU level, we'll have to see. Because we saw the same with Prime Minister Antonio Costa. At first, you know, everyone was very worried that he would be tainted forever. But more and more, it seems like the corruption case was not directed at him. So he's becoming more clear of it. While in the case of Sanchez, it's becoming more clear and clear that actually this case has been built on fake news. So Sanchez will not be tainted out of this, at least if there's no new developments, I would say. Even though Partido Popular, the opposition party in Spain led by Alberto Núñez Feijóo, is using this as a campaign trick.
Ha dicho que se toma 5 días para pensar en sí mismo y en mi opinión lleva 5 años.
He said he took 5 days to think about himself. I think he took the last 5 years. Those were the words of opposition leader Alberto Feijóo.
So like we see a very, very heated battle in Spain that in fact we've seen transposed at the EU level too, with the European People's Party and the Party of European Socialists clashing at each other already in comments to media. For example, last week, the socialists were accusing the center-right party EPP of, you know, of justifying fascist methods by defending what the far-right has done by attacking Begoña Gómez in Spain.
As things stand, what is Sanchez's role in Brussels?
Sanchez, of course, is seen as one of the last stars of the socialists. Next to Sanchez, the other socialist prime minister, heads of government in Europe are Robert Abela in Malta, Olaf Scholz in Germany, and Mette Frederiksen in Denmark. So if Sanchez would fall, that would be a big deal, of course. But yeah, he's seen at the EU level as this very powerful politician that can bring forward green and social changes. He's seen as this token of how socialists can do good governance, or at least that's how the, you know, Party of European Socialists presents him.
Are there any stances in his political program that could prevent him from obtaining enough support?
Of course, he's also very pro-Palestine. He's been at the forefront of the European efforts to recognize the state of Palestine. Recently, he had a tour across Europe to convince heads of government to join him in his decision. And actually, it's interesting because by doing so, the opposition party, Partido Popular, accused him of campaigning for the European Council presidency rather than campaigning for Palestine. Of course, that was just a move by the opposition party, but it's food for thought. Indeed, if Sanchez would become the European Council presidency, this is something he would be pushing for, in fact, which might also play out a role on whether he gets appointed or not, because, of course, he needs the support from his counterparts to get the top job.
I'm Jada Santana, and this was Your Activist Today in the EU podcast. Visit Your Activist to stay on top of the latest news, sign up for our podcast newsletter, and if you haven't subscribed yet, you can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or whatever it is that you get your podcasts.
Leave us a star review on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or your favorite streaming platform. It will really help us spread the word about our work. This episode was produced by Miriam Sanz de Tejada, Nicoletta Yonta, and me. See you tomorrow!
As part of our commitment to accuracy, inclusion, and transparency, you're activist part of the Trust Project.